Exodus. We're going to be looking at several verses in different books this morning. But just want to get you to the book of Exodus chapter 31 first. When you find your place in Exodus 31, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right, that sounds like most of you. Billy Graham tells in his book, Nearing Home, about his wife, Ruth, and her ability to really lighten hearts. Just the encouragement she was, the way she would, just the sense of humor she had, the compassion, the love she had. And she was quite comical at times as well. And she was one day driving home through a congested construction area where there were detours. There were mile-by-mile cautionary signs. And at the end of the road construction, there was a sign that read, "End of construction. Thank you for your patience." When she got home, she lightheartedly but seriously told her family and requested that when she dies, she wanted the phrase to be on her gravestone. That phrase of, indeed, end of construction, thank you for your patience. And Ms. Ruth Graham understood a great truth there, that God has us all under construction. And the theological word for that is called sanctification. The Lord is working in each of our lives to make us a holy people that reflect His holiness. Notice with me in your Bibles there in Exodus chapter 31, verse number 13. The Bible says here in verse 12 and then verse 13, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath shall ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that sanctify you." I want to draw your attention to that last phrase of that verse. It will be the subject of this morning's message. The very fact that where it says that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. We've been preaching through the names of God, and this morning we're going to preach on this name of God, Jehovah Makedeshkim, which translates, "The Lord who sanctifies you." The Lord who sanctifies you. Remember, every name of God gives another perspective of who God is. Another reason that we should be stirred with awe in our hearts, directed toward the character and the person of God Almighty. As we think of His names, we learn more about Him. We learn more about His purpose. We learn more about His desires. We learn more about His heart for humanity. We learn more about who He is and how great and awesome He is. What a joy it is to study the names of God. And this one we're going to look at also. Could you hold your place there? We probably will come back. I don't know for sure. But would you just go over one book to the book of Leviticus? Leviticus chapter 20. We're going to see this name again. Leviticus chapter 20. Notice verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you." There's the phrase at the end of verse 8. That name of God, Jehovah Makedeshkim. You know that name is used 10 times in the Old Testament. It is used the one time in Exodus that we read. It's used seven times in the book of Leviticus, and it's used twice in Ezekiel. What is the significance of this name? What can we learn about God from this name? And that is my goal, to describe that and explain that this morning with the help of God. You see, the true Christian ideal is not to be happy, but to be holy. A.W. Tozer. And I agree with that statement from Brother Tozer, and I believe it is God's will of His mission in His people is to make us a holy people. You see, this word sanctification is all throughout the Word of God. It is, in fact, one of those words that's used several hundred times throughout the Word of God, primarily in the Old Testament, but you're going to there's going to be words such as holy, holiness, sanctify, sanctification, set apart. There are going to be different names that are used for that. And each of those have the root word of kadesh, which means to set apart. It means to be consecrated. And I like one definition that was given, which sums up the idea of sanctify or sanctification, and it's this: to be set apart for a holy purpose. That is the true core meaning of to be sanctified, is to be set apart for a holy purpose. And my friends, I'm so thankful to announce this morning that the message of God through His Word is that His people have been set apart for a holy purpose. Your life matters to God. Your life matters in such a way that He wants to use your life to show a lost and dying world that there is hope, that there is life, that there is a Creator above who does care and who desires to save. I just want to give several aspects this morning on this idea of sanctification. I could no way exhaust this great subject this morning, but I do want to just help us to be reminded of the significance of this name. Notice with me, number one, sanctification begins with God. Just like salvation begins with God, sanctification also begins with God. You think about the very fact, remember what the children of Israel being delivered from Egypt was a picture of? It was a picture of salvation. And just as God pulled and brought and delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, and if you have a story of salvation, which I hope everyone here does, if you don't, you need to get one. And you can have one today. You can ask God Almighty to save you and deliver you and redeem you from your sin and have eternal life and have life in Christ. But what He did is He took the children of Israel out and then He set them on a course to what we call the Canaan land. The Bible calls the Canaan land the promised land, a place of victory. And so as God set them out on this course, something that God always does and never fails, He's never fallen short in this responsibility that He has given to Himself and that He gives to us, He has told the children of Israel how to do it. He's explained to them and written out clear instructions of how you can truly be holy people, how you can truly be sanctified and set apart from the rest of a world that is going the other direction. You see, it begins with God. Number one, it begins with God Himself is holy. I think of Leviticus. If you're there, you can look. It's in chapter 11, verse 45. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45. God says, "For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt." To what? To be your God. You see, that's the problem with a lot of people who reject the God of the Bible. They simply do not want the God of the Bible to be their God. They want something else to be their God. But God says, "I have delivered you and set you apart to be your God." And He says, "Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." God has declared Himself to be holy. You want to hold your place there in Leviticus? We'll be coming back to Leviticus. Maybe you can stick your bulletin there. And go over to the book of Isaiah with me. Would you go over to the book of Isaiah, the major prophets? You go on past the Psalms. Go past the Psalms and you should run in right after Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. You'll run right into Isaiah. And notice with me chapter 6. Remember, we're talking about the holiness of God, that God Himself is, if you would, if I could say this, God is Himself sanctified. He is set apart in His own entity. He is the eternal God. There is none like unto Him. He has set Himself apart from all His creation in the sense of being above and being the one who is to be worshipped. And so we see here in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah has a vision. He sees the Lord. He says here in verse 1, as the year that King Uzziah died, he said, "I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple." And it goes on to give a description of what that looked like. And notice verse 3. As the seraphims were saying one to another, they cried out one to another, verse 3, notice, and said, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of His glory." You see, we see here God is most definitely the Holy One. And for us as His children to truly understand the doctrine of sanctification, being set apart, we have to first understand the holiness of God. He's without sin. He's completely pure. He's completely perfect. He's the most powerful. He's the all-knowing. He's everywhere all the time. There's never been a time that He was not. And He's awesome. He's mighty. He's majestic. He's marvelous. He's wonderful. He's good. He's great. And we think upon our holy God, and when Isaiah got a glimpse of Him, a vision of Him and His holiness, we see what was being cried out. Now, it is interesting to note this attribute of holiness for God. It is the only attribute of God that is repeated three times in Scripture. That is back to back. Words, attributes repeated three times in a row. In other words, you don't see anywhere in Scripture where there is an account of an angel saying, speaking of God saying, "Love, love, love," even though God is love. You don't see any account of angels crying out to God, "Justice, justice, justice," even though God is just. But you see, I believe all His attributes flow out of this attribute, or would you say the balance of all the attributes is God's holiness. I like what Ken Hemphill said about this. He said, "The holiness of God is the perfection of all His attributes." Nathan Scott, as I just gave reference to, an old theologian, said, "The holiness of God, it is the balance of all the attributes of deity." You see, my friends, as we think about the holiness of God, it should strike all in our hearts as we think about Him. And that's the beginning stages of us personally being set apart for God. Notice with me, secondly, not only sanctification begins with God, God Himself is holy, but God Himself is the one that produces holiness. I can't produce holiness. And neither can you. It's an impossibility. Now, I will expound upon that thought here in just a moment. But understand, it is Jehovah Makedeshkim. The Lord who makes holy, the Lord who sanctifies, is the one that brings and produces holiness in my life, if there is any, and there should be. but it's Him. And we see that in the life of Isaiah, don't we? When he saw this vision, if you follow that account and read on down in your verses, you'll notice a few things there. It picks up, number one, in verse number 5. I'll just pick there. Notice what Isaiah said. This said I, what are those next three words? Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Do you see what the holiness of God did to this man and that will do to each of us? I want to tell you what it did. It produced a conviction. And when I say conviction, it produced a spirit that revealed some things that were wrong in Isaiah's life. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. He must have been speaking some sort of vain words at some point. Whatever the case may be, it brought a conviction. But you know what? It also, that conviction brought, and the holiness of God will bring, it brought a confession. I'm an undone man. Lord, I've sinned against you. And the holiness of God will bring forth confession from our lives. He will produce a confession in our lives. And then not only that, but notice what he says here as he goes on to say in verse number 7. It says, and he laid it upon my mouth, this coal in his hand. And he said, lo, this hath touched my lips. And notice verse 7, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin what? Purged. I'm thankful to know that when I think of this, the sanctity, the sanctification that God brings, it brings a conviction, a confession, and thank God it brings a cleansing. The Lord of hosts cleanses us, and then when there is a cleansing, notice what else it brings. It brings a consecration, a set apart for the service of God. Notice verse 8. And he says, also I heard of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah says, then said I, here am I, send me. Church, I'm convinced of this. When we have a true vision of God's holiness, it will be much easier for us to realize that we are set apart for God's service. When we envision that in our hearts and realize that God does reveal to us our sin, and He also helps us to understand that there's a confession, and then there's a cleansing, and then through that there's a consecration, basically a life saying, Lord, I'm yours. Because of who you are, I belong to you. I love that song. Brother Mike had no idea I was going to be preaching on this today. But I belong to Jesus. I've been set apart for His purpose and His glory. And thank God I can say this upon the Scriptures is too. God has been set apart. I've set God apart in my life. Every one of us should have made the decision to set God apart. And when I say set apart, put Him in a category of His own in the sense that He is number one. Nobody takes His place. Nobody moves Him over. It is God Himself. In fact, that's why Jesus taught the disciples on the model prayer, and it was a model prayer, what did He tell them to say about the Father? He said, pray after this manner, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, same word, Kadesh in the Hebrew. It's the same meaning. You are holy. You are set apart. God, there is none like you. There is none that never will be like you. You are number one. You are my all in all. My life is dedicated to you. I have set you apart, God, in my life. And you are always going to be in that place. And we have to admit there are times that God gets removed from that place, not because of His decision, but because of our decision. But thank God, again, the Lord has designed it in such a way that we can quickly get that right. We can quickly have that fellowship restored as we come to Him. But understand, friends, it begins with God. Number two, notice with me, sanctification begins with God, but sanctification has a purpose. If you're taking notes, that's point number two. sanctification has a purpose. What is that purpose? God is setting us apart for a purpose. You know, we can quickly relate to that in so many areas of life. You have things in your house that you have set apart for particular uses. You men who work with tools a lot, you have certain tools in your garage or your toolbox that you have for specific projects that you would only use for those projects. Ladies, you have instruments in your house. And for whether it be for cooking or whatever it might be, whatever you're doing, it is the fact of the matter that we all have areas and things in our life that we set apart for specific use. Yesterday, last night, I have a something that I use specifically, and that is my grill. I like my charcoal grill. I have a purpose for it. And I like cooking things on it, grilling things on it. I like grilling hamburgers and hot dogs, and that happened to be what it was last night. And but I like grilling all kinds of things. I'll grill steaks when people buy them for me, and I will grill those. But nevertheless, that's what I set that aside apart. Well, listen, can I say something to you? Don't miss this. The doctrine of sanctification is that the Holy God of heaven has set each of us apart for a purpose. And that is to bring glory to His name. He has a purpose for us. And so, and each of us have a detailed purpose. A detailed purpose. Mine won't be like yours necessarily. Yours won't be like mine as far as the specific details of a purpose. It depends maybe the way He's gifted you. The way He's directed you, the way He is calling you. But you see, we can't miss that truth. And the book of Leviticus that we were reading from just a moment ago is all about God instructing His people how they can be different from the rest of the world. And that is one of the purposes of God saving us, just like He did with the children of Israel. It is so that the rest of the world can know that there is something distinctly different about Christians. We are being set apart, just like the children of Israel, and we'll look at that more in detail. But you see, He's going to teach them how to live as redeemed people should. Number one, I want us to see under His purpose, it is a purpose that we belong to God. We belong to God. Our behavior should reflect the holiness of God. Notice with me back in Leviticus, if you'll notice with me just for a moment, let's look at a few verses quickly. Can you turn in your Bibles with me? I appreciate you doing that. I think it's important. Just make sure I'm not up here teaching or preaching heresy. It's good to follow along with the preacher. Just don't take the word for it. Check me out. Can you look there? Exodus chapter 18. What did I say? I meant Leviticus. Leviticus. I'm sorry. I'm just testing you. I like to hear the pages. So you going back and forth sounds kind of nice. Leviticus chapter 18. Again, this is the thought of, okay, what is the purpose of God setting us apart? What is the purpose of sanctification? Notice what He said. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, what's those next four words? Shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. He says, ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You see what He's teaching here. He's teaching, I've got a purpose to set you aside, not to be like the world so they can come to know who I am. Notice chapter 19. Would you flip over one page perhaps there and look at verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord God, am holy. And if you follow that, he's going to go through a list of all these characteristics that should have been true in their lives, of their relationship with people, their kindness and their love for people, their abstaining from sexual sins, their abstaining from all kinds of perverseness in their lives. He goes through that, but he says, you're doing it because these people need to know that I am holy. I do not sin, and neither should you, because you're my people. You belong to me. Notice chapter 20, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. Actually, verse 23 first. Verse 23 says, again, he's given them instructions how to walk in victory in the promised land of Canaan among pagans. How do you walk among pagans? You got to be set apart because you're God's. Verse 23 says, and ye shall not walk in the manners, that's the behavior, the thinking, the lifestyle of the nation. He's talking about the nation of the Canaanites, the Philistines and different ones like that. He says, which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. And notice what it says in verse 24. He says, but I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land. I will give it to you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God. Now, notice this last phrase, which have separated you from other people. Church, we can't miss that. There should be a difference in our lives. God has a purpose for us to be different so they can know the true and only wise God. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but you can't mistake this context. This is not talking about isolation. We're not called to be different where we go hide out in a cave or a hole somewhere or own little circle and that's all we do, like some of these cults do out west with the Mormons. They go out and have this little village or this little town and it's all them, and they isolate themselves from the rest of the world. That's the opposite of what God's people are to be doing. In fact, God has said, no, I want you to be different, but I want you to get out there in the middle of them and let your light shine. Go out and live your life in your workplace. Go out and live your life in your neighborhood. Go and be that light. You see, a lot of people get it confused. You know, when they say Jesus said the broad ways that lead it to destruction, there be many therein that pass thereby. And it says narrow is the way and straight is the way that leadeth to life. A lot of people think in their minds, they visualize this Broadway where there are just multitudes of people, and that's true, multitudes of people that are going the wrong way, that's true, but then in their minds, they do this narrow way in a totally different category. And so there's a narrow way going the opposite direction. It's true that they're going the opposite, but our visual has gotten wrong, church. The narrow way is right in the middle of the Broadway. We're going one direction towards Jesus Christ, right in the middle of the Broadway, and the rest of the world that's lost and without Christ, they're going against us. But that's why God has us in the middle, so that we can grab and hold on and take as many as we can going in that direction. That's where it's at. It's not about isolation. It's about being sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God, being filled with His Spirit. Making a difference, being salt that has not lost its savor, being a light that's set upon a hill. That's where it's at, friend. Jesus Christ, that's why He ate with publicans and sinners. He was sitting in the midst of a people who were taking the broad way that leads to destruction. And Jesus was announcing to them, come with me. My way is the narrow way, but it's the right way. It's the true way. My friends, we got to understand, the Lord is sanctified. He said, children of Israel, you're going into a wicked land. You're surrounded by pagans. Those Canaanites, the Philistines, all of them. You go in, and He's going to teach them how to even be a gospel witness to them, to shine the light of and grace of God unto them. But we see the Lord is speaking very clearly. Not only do we see that He has a purpose to make sure a world knows that we belong to God who is holy and separated from sin, and that's who we represent, but secondly, it is to make us blameless. You see, His purpose is to help a world to see we belong to God, but then if you're taking notes here, secondly, it is to make us blameless. You see, there is a difference between being blameless and faultless. And it's important for Christians to understand. There's not a person in this room at this moment or ever will be while you live on this earth that will be faultless. You will have faults in your life. You're not supposed to get comfortable with them. You're not supposed to pat them on the head and say it's going to be okay. You're supposed to constantly be confessing and repenting and letting God grow you, but there will be faults. But every person in this room does have the capacity and does have the responsibility and the mandate to be blameless. What's the difference? Well, you see, one speaks of the practice that we have. Our daily life, our walk with God, God working in our lives and constantly growing us and moving us forward in His will. Let me tell you something, friends. There should be a progression in your and my sanctification. We should be growing as believers every day of our life, every week, every month. We should be. And that is not always easy to determine as far as outward appearance, but I tell you, we know where we are. You know where you were spiritually last year. You know where you were spiritually 10 years ago. Are you growing? Is God growing you? That's the idea of being blameless. You are, walking with Christ in such a way where you are not in a habitual lifestyle where there could be blame on your life currently. It's just being right with God doesn't mean you're perfect, but it means you're striving daily to have a pure conscience, a clean account, and right fellowship with Him. That's why we live in a world, you know, that talks about the world. We talk about the world system. I'm not going to take time to teach on this, church, but when the Bible talks about the world, you have to know what context it is. When John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world," who is He talking about? People. The human race. That's the one context of the world. But when God says, love not the world, what is the context of that world? It's a type of thinking. It's a system of thinking. A system of unbelief. A system of pride, a system of lust and concentrates on pleasure. It's basically, and there's probably better ways to define it, but from what I have discovered in my own life, is that the world in that context is when there is a focus on self. Satisfying self. My way. But when I think of this idea of the world, it carries the idea that God wants us to be different from that. That world teaches us a belief that there are no moral absolutes. In fact, the world teaches even now that you establish your own absolute. Well, see, that's an example. That's a way of the world's thinking. But God's people are different. We say, no, I believe that there are moral absolutes and there is an absolute way. His name is Jesus. And His Word is the way. That is how you will be set apart from the rest of this world. Doesn't mean you isolate yourself, but it means you should look, think, speak, and act and respond differently than the rest of this world thinks and talks and acts and responds. I was hoping I'd get at least one amen right there. Y'all help me out. But you're not going to hurt my feelings. I want you to know that. Because, folks, the truth of the matter is, I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day and give an account of everything I preach and what I didn't preach. That's why we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "And the very God of peace." I love that. The Spirit of God said, "The God of peace sanctify you wholly." He says, "I pray that your whole body, spirit, and soul," and body It says, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved. Here's the word. Don't miss it. Blameless. Until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word blameless is talking about you have sin confessed and you're seeking to walk with Him right now. Hey, don't you want God to find you that way? When He comes? When Jesus comes, listen, He may come when you're sleeping, but did you go to sleep with a clear conscience? Did you go to sleep right with God and right with man? You'll be ready. You'll be found blameless. I'm afraid sometimes we don't live in the light of His coming. That'll bring some serious sanctification to our hearts. And the God of peace will sanctify us. Our bodies, how we use our bodies. What is your body being used for? What are you doing to your body? Is it sanctified? Is the Spirit of God got it set apart for His use and for His glory? What about your spirit? What about your mind? What about your emotions? What about your intellect? What are these things being used for? Are they set apart? Is God sanctifying them? And in all that, when we live in the light of His coming, that is a true motivation and inspiration to us to daily be blameless. I want to tell you, I believe when Christians walk with God, I heard it put this way once before, and I believe it. When we live in the light of His coming, and there's so much in the Scriptures that said it, you won't have to send the FBI out to see how people are living. You won't have to send the FBI to drag people to church. I'm telling you right now, when we live in the light of His coming, seeking to be blameless in our body and our soul and our spirit, I'm telling you right now, we're going to want to be around God's people. We're going to want to do things that represent God's holiness. That's what we'll be wanting to do. You won't have to beat it into anybody. You won't have to drag anybody into it. I'm telling you right now, one thing that will purify our hearts in this church right here is when we let the God of peace sanctify us wholly. That's completely. That's not partially on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday nights. It's every day of every moment of our lives. Make us blameless. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16 says, but as He which hath called you is holy, He said, He repeats the Leviticus verse. And some people say, well, Brother Brenton, don't you know that's the Old Testament? Don't you know that's Leviticus? We're not under the law anymore. Well, Peter, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave the same command to the church. He said, so be ye holy. You are called. Is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That's your conduct. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. But let me close with this point right here. You've listened so well. Number one, we see that sanctification begins with God. Number two, we see that sanctification has a purpose. And number three, let's see how sanctification is to be pursued by man. We cannot forget, church, that God has given us a place in the doctrine of sanctification. We can't forget about that. I mean, to say that sanctification is all of God, then we have to ask our questions, is that consistent with Scripture? Because in our passage in Leviticus, and we see it also throughout the New Testament, God gives this command, sanctify yourselves. What does that mean? I believe exactly what we've been talking apart. It's you and I making the conscious decision of setting our lives apart for the purpose of God. And when I make that choice and you make that choice, God enters in with the power to change us. I can't change myself. I can't produce holiness. But I can set myself, my weak self, my faulty self aside for God and say, God, You fill me. You sanctify me for Your purpose. And He'll do it. Every time. Completely holy unto us. Sanctify yourselves. As Leviticus 20 says, He says, I am the Lord your God. I would say an equivalent verse, a truth to that is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. I'll read it to you. You can mark it down in your notes. But Hebrews 12, 14 says this, follow peace with all men. And get this, and holiness. So we are to pursue holiness. There should be an active desire in our lives to go after it. And he said, without which no man shall see the Lord. And my friends here today, I do believe that if we don't actively pursue peace and holiness, the Bible says we won't see God work in our lives. You say, I don't see the Lord working in my life. I've prayed and prayed. I've done this and that. Are you pursuing peace and holiness? Are you allowing God to sanctify you? Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when you what? When you search for me with all of your heart. You know who he was talking to then? He was talking to the group of the children of Israel that were in Babylonian captivity. And they were wanting to get out. They were wanting to get back to the promised land. They were wanting to get back to victory. And he said, I'm going to tell you how you're going to get it. You're going to get it by seeking after me. You're going to get it by searching after me. When you do it with all your heart. One of the greatest dangers to the church today, I believe with all my heart, Brother Dan, Brother Ken, I'm telling you right now, I believe, Brother Caleb, that the greatest danger to the local church today is half-hearted Christianity. We're not going after it with all we have. But we can change that by a choice of the will. It doesn't have to be our watch. I like what Stennett Ballou, he's in heaven now, he's one of my favorite preachers. His messages speak to my heart. Everybody, you know, has their preferences and those things. But he made this comment talking about the work of God in our lives and the area of sanctification and the area of revival, the area of missions, evangelism. Listen to this quote and let it sink in. There is God's part that man can't do, but there is man's part that God won't do. Did you catch that? I'm going to say it again. There is God's part that man can't do. That's the actual sanctifying, producing holiness in our life, giving us revival, helping us to evangelize, reviving this church, moving us to where we need to be zealous in good works. That's God's part. But then the second part of the quote says, but there is man's part that God won't do. We got to make a choice. We're not a bunch of robots, friends. God's given us a choice of the will to say, Lord, this is truth and it's right. And I'm going to yield myself. I'm going to set myself apart for your purpose, for your glory. No matter going against the grain, no matter there are just thousands that are seemingly going the opposite direction. And many times we as Christians feel all alone like, do I got this right? What? Oh, all these people, they're going that way. Here I am going this way. My friend, that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the norm. And it's for you and I to decide today to stop riding the fence. Stop turning around and going with them. Stop trying to just dive down and let them stomp over you. I tell you right now, as Bob Jones used to say, you and God make the majority. I like what Erwin Lutzer said. He said, although we become Christians instantaneously by faith in Christ, knowing God and developing faith is a gradual process. There are no shortcuts to maturity. It takes time to be holy. That last phrase, it takes time to be holy. Would you say that with me, church? Let's say it. It takes time to be holy. It takes effort. It takes a yielding to the Spirit of God, the God of peace, to sanctify us holy. If you do a study through Scripture, I love it. I don't have time to get into it. But the Bible gives reference to God the Father sanctifying. It gives reference to Jesus Christ sanctifying us. And it gives reference to the Holy Spirit sanctifying us. That's the triune God. All three of them are in part of the sanctification of your life, of the sanctification of this church. And God is doing a great work. And I'm thankful as I look across this sanctuary this morning, I am looking at people who have set themselves apart for the holy purpose of God. You keep doing that. Let God use you in this perverse and crooked world. It's making a difference. It matters. It's just a matter of you and I making that decision even today, as many of those Israelites had to make going into Canaan. And we know some of them didn't. I'm going to close with this quote by John Newton that I believe sums up what I'm trying to preach this morning. John Newton wrote Amazing Grace, and this is what he admitted. Please listen closely. He said, "I am not what I might be. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I am not what I hope to be. But I thank God I am not what I once was. And I can say with the great apostle, by the grace of God, I am what I am." My friends, my question in closing today, are you growing in the Lord? Are you being sanctified daily for the purpose, the holy purpose of God Almighty? If you're not, make a decision today in response to this message saying, "God, I belong to You. You have set me apart through salvation, and You have a plan for my life, and it's for this world to see that there's a holy God that hates sin but loves the sinner. It is a holy God who is distinct and different, and His people should look the same." Would you make that decision and just ask God, do an inventory in my life. What is it that I own that hasn't been sanctified to You? There's some people that say, "What about my recreation? What about my hobby?" Yes. What about your food? What about your drink? What about what you do? Everything. Is it set apart for God? Listen, you say, can you set apart things that are secular? Absolutely. Everything you do as a Christian should be set apart because it's all holy ground. I even think about a ball game. Some of you here don't like sports very much. I happen to like it. You probably like something that I don't really like doing. Reminds me of my brother-in-law just the other day. I sent him a text and gave him the title of the book. He's kind of a comedian. And it was a spiritual book. It was a devotional book. And the name of it, he sent back a book with that same title. And it was the same exact title that I'd sent him. And it just happened to be that somebody wrote a book with that title. It didn't even match, but it said, "Learning the Art of Quilting." He's a comedian. He got me on that. But everything we ought to do ought to be set apart. Going back to the sports thing. You know, you can watch sports as a Christian. I think it's fine. But when it becomes unsanctified, or when it's not sanctified, is when that sport or whatever you're doing takes the place of God. I tell you what, if staying up late watching football keeps you out of church on Sunday morning, that is not sanctified. Anything that keeps you from coming to this house and worshiping, that now we got people that work on Sundays. Brother Jake Stringer, who's a fireman, is working right now. Our first responders, our medical workers, that is totally appropriate. But I'm thankful that even those have a place, because Jake said, there's one thing I don't do. I do come. I have to work on Sunday when I'm scheduled, but I will not work overtime on Sundays if it's offered. And that's a difference. And I'm not trying to puff Jake up or not. I'm sure I could talk about some bad things about Jake too, pretty easily. All right. But nevertheless, my point is folks, there even those things we have to set apart in our lives. There's a game coming up on September 4th. That I'm probably going to be watching. And you know what? I am not. You know, there's nothing wrong with watching that, having a good time, but I tell you what, what's my attitude while I'm watching it? Especially for you Bulldogs. What if my team wins, or what if my team loses? And it goes across the board. You know, everything we do, we have to do as God's people set apart for God's glory. Let Him give you wisdom in that. Let Him give you guidance in that. Everything I have ought to be able to say authoritatively and confidently. I ought to be able to say that, Lord, what I'm doing right now, I'm doing as a child of God. That a world may know that I belong to You. And I've been chosen for a purpose, to be different, to be blameless. I'm thankful for Jehovah, the Lord who sanctifies. Jehovah, Makadesh Kim.